Bum, bum, bum. Here we are. Welcome to the Whiskey Restaurant. You are Katie Danner. I am Denise Warner, and we welcome you to the Whiskey Rock Lounge. It's show five.
And I think I predicted we'd have this down by show five.
I think you did, and I think we kind of do.
I love the face. Kind of. You know,
the funny thing is we had a meeting last week that was fantastic with your, is that your cousin or your niece, Joni?
My niece, yeah.
And it was so productive. And we, I don't want to say we changed everything, but we came up with a really good couple of things, like segments, kind of like a little bit more format-y to keep us on track. And I am loving it. Like I'm so happy with everything we went over, and we're working on a logo and branding and topics and guests and segments and merchandise and partnerships. And I mean, we covered the gamut, and it was like so productive. I am not used to that.
Yeah. We have pictures from that meeting. So I wanted to get your approval before I put them up on Facebook, but I thought it was nice to document our first official, you know, administrative meeting. And we came up with so many things that are coming our way that to make us even more interesting than we already are. That's
possible. It was fun. It was just like, it was kind of like I said before, it's like lightning bolts. You know, it was just like,
you're like, okay, this town, I don't know. And then I'm looking, what time is it? Is she sleeping? Because I kept pinging you with ideas that I had for what we should do, or, you know, what I think was a good idea.
Yeah, man, it was a good meeting. We have to explain, we were supposed to have Lucy and Mandy on. From the British girl band Eek. We had Lucy on a couple of shows ago, and then her and her wife Mandy were going to come back and sing us a song. But they're like in the midst of like a family health crisis, you know, like when your parents get old and you're the go-to person. So they've got some of that going on. And I just didn't want to add to their stress with worrying about, you know, I mean, they obviously have so much going on. So I just, we're going to have them on, but when things settle down a little bit for them. So it's not a stress thing. Like we got to get this done. We said we were going to get this done. I don't want them to come on feeling like that. Like, so when they get this under control and life gets back to normal, then we'll have them both on. So
looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Settle down for them.
Yeah, we'll get there. I think it's been like kind of a rough week. So, I mean, not so much for me. I didn't really have a rough, I'm not having a rough week. Can't say that I did. I had a guy here from British Gas to look at our boiler, and that was kind of weird because the only person we've had in the house throughout this entire pandemic has been Hazel. So, and once we had like a plumber guy had to come and look at a radiator, and it was right by the front door. So it was, you know, like he wore a mask, I wore a mask. This is like when we were all in the throes of it. Poor guy had gloves on and everything. And we left the front door open, so there was air coming in. And, you know, it was just, you know, I felt okay with it. But this guy, I got to tell you, he wasn't masked up or anything, which felt, again, really weird. So, I basically opened a door and said, go on in to the left. And, you know, I had everything ready, like, you know, cabinet door open, little ladder there for him to step up and get in there, everything. And then I just basically sat over there on the couch. Like, I was more than like 10 feet away from him the entire time. But I guess that's just the way it's got to be now. Like, you just have to be like, to everybody.
I've had to have a few people in to do repairs and do some work, and my automatic shades I was telling you about just now, one of them broke. I had to have the guys come back. They were here pre-pandemic, but you know, they wore the masks and they were in and out pretty quickly, so that was good. And then I have a couple of guys that do some work for me that I know them, you know, just because they finished up the contractor work and they had to come and do some work for me. So I had to do it, but you know, I get it. You don't want to let so many people in.
Yeah, it felt like really, really strange because I feel like probably around the end of October, like right now, a lot of Northern England's going into their, it's called tier 3 lockdown, where they're starting with curfews and not mixing households. And, you know, it's getting to where it's going to be like, again, like this second wave is coming. It's not good. So I feel like, yeah, by October, it'll probably be us because we're doing really well in the South, like Brighton and Croydon and Sutton. And I mean, it's not that bad. It's just like north of London, and London is getting a little bit shaky. So, but I feel like it'll work its way down. Like, we'll see. It'll happen. So I'm glad to be able to get all this stuff done and then just concentrate on being back into a phased lockdown once again.
The problem with Florida is that we have so many people coming from the cold states now. So we're so much more transient, especially now. And our governor lifts the bans and, you know, the masks are less mandatory. Like, I don't get it. I do not understand that.
It's and become so politicized that it's heartbreaking.
I don't get it, particularly because being a state where people are coming now because of the warm weather from everywhere, you know, we need to protect ourselves more. And I live, as you know, where I live in Georgetown. I go around that bend where all the bars are and the restaurants, and people are doing conga lines and no, you know, they usually have masks on, but still they're all sitting outside eating, like as if nothing's happening in the world. Because we're, of course, when you're on vacation, nothing bad can happen, right? So, you know, I don't get it.
Jay, do you know, are they don't test at the airport? There's no quarantining if you're coming in from someplace, nothing like that?
I don't think they're doing it anymore. I think when you were driving in from somewhere else, they were stopping you. But that was a while ago. I don't know if that's happening anymore. So,
You know, it kills me because there's nothing I want to do more than go visit my mother, you know, and I feel like I just can't. Like, we're becoming a hot spot. You guys are like a hot spot. I mean, I watch the news every morning, you know. I hate to promote it, but the only American news I get really is like MSNBC, Bloomberg, and CNN. So basically I watch like CNN in the morning, like their morning show, just to see what the numbers are. And I'm mortified for what's happening there. Like it's like 40 states are trending in the wrong direction. Your hospitals are becoming overloaded again. It's a little bit scary. Yeah. So I don't see myself getting home anytime soon. We were talking about our weeks and you told me something that was pretty friggin' funny about the bag liquors, which this is new to me because we don't have, in the grocery stores, we don't have people that do the bagging, nor do we have carrier bags anymore. Like we have them, but you have to buy them. So everybody, you know, you have to bring your own. So I'm not used to, you know, anybody, you know, touching bags. Like we just have these massive big grocery bags that we just pile everything in and, you know, in and out. But you reminded me that there are still plastic bags all over the state of Florida, and you shop at Target, and you told me about bag liquors.
That was a thing of mine for like years. And, you know, people didn't want to shop with me because, you know, friends or whoever, because I would make them get off a line we might have been on for 10 minutes waiting because they switched right before we were ready to go up. And I knew the liquors because I go to Target a lot. So I knew who those liquors were.
Now, when you say liquors, these are people that lick their fingers to try and get the bags open.
Yes. Oh, right. I guess I should clear that up. Yes.
They don't just go around licking bags. They're licking their finger.
The checkout people.
Right.
Yeah. Let me just clear that up. Yes, it's the checkout and they lick and get the bag and then they touch all your stuff with the same finger they licked. Before, everybody would tell me, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I'm kind of used to hearing that in general, so I didn't pay attention. But now that stress has been lifted from me because the mask, they cannot lick. Not particularly because they're worried about germs, because in the beginning, when the masks weren't like mandatory, they were still licking away. They wasn't, and I would be like, I can't believe these people are doing this. And it's not occurring to them about this virus. But, you know, as it got worse, then they had to wear the mask. Anyway, that's, you know, I don't want to beat that subject to death, but it's just, it's not happening anymore. So I can finally get on any checkout line and it's not going to be a problem for me.
No more stress. No more bag licking stress. That's amazing. It's funny. Like, I guess it feels like it happened so long ago. It happened while I was here that they implemented this carrier bag thing where you have to bring your own bags. And it's fine unless you, I mean, there were a lot of times where I, when I worked at the pub, there was like a little, we have like little huge supermarkets, like say your Publix had little mini versions of Publix, would be like a Publix local, and it would just be a smaller version of the store. So we have, it's called the little Sainsbury's local on our high street, and it was right near the pub. So if I knew I was working a long shift, I would just like stop in there on my way to work and grab like a sandwich and a, you know, bag of chips and, you know, something like to eat later on, so I wasn't bothering the people in the kitchen. And a lot of times I would get halfway down the street before I realized I didn't have a bag. So it was just like, oh, whatever. Like, I'll just pay the five or 10 cents for a bag. But a lot of people just won't do it. Like, do you see people walking around with like a bag of bread and a jug of milk in their hand walking home because they didn't want to pay the 5p for the bag? Like,
that is so funny how things are different. Like, you wouldn't think that, you know, in a country, in a different country.
Yeah, it's really, really weird. Really weird to see people just walking around with like you know, a 9-pack of toilet roll under their arms. Like, I don't want anybody to see that. You know? But yeah, it's a little strange. So weirdly today, I had a little neighborhood kitty come and hang out in my backyard. And like, I was just sitting here working on my computer, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw this little flash of brown. I'm like, because, I mean, we have foxes and stuff that are always in the backyard. Doesn't really, that's why the cats are not allowed out, because there's always foxes sitting on my shed, jumping over the walls and all kinds of stuff. But this little kitty, well, she's a medium-sized kitty. It's like he sauntered into the back. I think he came over the wall. He landed in the middle of the backyard, and he looked. Now, mind you, we've done a lot of gardening this year, you know, with the pandemic. Gemma's been home, so we've kind of added like all these nice lavender bushes and geraniums and daisies and jasmine and all kinds of just a little herb garden. And this cat focuses on the one dead tree, the one dead bush, and he's looking at it, and he's looking at it, and then he met my eyes, and he was like so disgusted, and he just turned around and left. And I was like, I just got garden shamed by a neighbor cat. Like, it was so humiliating. So I put it up on Instagram so you could see every look of disgust on his face before making direct eye contact with me and leaving. So yeah, that was my weird thing this week. And I don't know, I just never been shamed by a pet like that before, by an animal. So I needed a drink. What are you drinking? You called me from the store, didn't you?
I did. And I was on a mission to get Knob Creek Maple bourbon. Whiskey, bourbon. However, this is the bottle. I got the regular.
Oh, straight, yeah, I got the regular kind.
So they ordered it for me. The maple is great because it's like maple syrup you don't need pancakes with, just the syrup.
Rocks. Remember, that was amazing. I had a couple shots of that when I was at your place.
The maple. Yeah, it's hard to get.
Yep.
But I bet, like you had mentioned, we have listeners. Not everyone's watching. So I put this in front of the camera, but it's a lovely brown and tan bottle.
It is. It actually looks like the color of maple syrup.
It does.
It's a nice, deep brown. Yeah. What's that look like in the glass? Oh, yeah. All right. I went, I'm getting better. I still don't have like a proper whiskey, bourbon, you know, scotch type of glass.
Closer.
But I'm having today Glenfiddich, which is a single malt scotch whiskey.
Yes.
And you know it's from Europe because it's whiskey with no E. Did you know they don't put the E in whiskey over here in Ireland? But this one is actually from Scotland. Gemma went to Scotland about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago with her granddad. They did like a little, or maybe it was her mom. I can't remember. No, I think it was her granddad. But so she brought me back this Glenfiddich Reserve Cask Rich Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. And I must tell you, I needed ice with it. You know, normally I don't. It's a little strong for my liking. But well, I'm going to get through this.
Is 100 proof. Cheers, Denise.
Cheers, Jay. Whew. That is strong. It's so strong that my cat can smell it. She's sitting behind my laptop and she just went. So I just blew whiskey flames on her and she's like, not having it. But I do remember the Knob Creek, and I can't wait for you to get the maple one in because that will make me proper jealous, like really jealous.
The maple is also 100 proof. The Knob Creek is a little stronger than, like, say, Jack Daniels or most of your whiskeys. They're about 70 proof.
Yeah.
And Knob Creek makes a 120 proof, which is a regular flavor. And, man, that, you know, that's the only time I ever drank something and I did not remember the next day. Or it was gone. Like, it just never came back to me. And that scared me. I was like, I don't like that feeling. You need to stay home when you drink that.
Yeah, you need that in a controlled environment. Yeah, definitely.
First time that ever happened. And that was a little, that was really scary for me. So I did want to bring up something that, that I was asked, we get questions and someone asked me about non-alcoholic whiskey. And I wasn't even sure if there was such a thing. I know about non-alcoholic.
Me either. I felt like I put it in your lap. I'm like, yeah, look into that. I don't know.
And it's like, okay, so for people who don't want to feel that they don't remember the night before, which that, by the way, I never did that again. Like, I don't know if people do that because I just never could do that. I need to know what I did the night before. But anyway, I looked it up and there's many of them, but I found this one article that said 12 of the best non-alcoholic spirits for building a sober bar. And that's a thing. People have homes, you know, whether it's someone in recovery or someone who can't drink, or maybe you don't want the calories because there's a lot less carbs and sugar in everything.
Yeah, or pregnant.
Or pregnant, yes, for any medical reason of any sort. But so they have these sober bars, and I guess what I'll do is I'm going to put on our page the link to this particular article because they list the 12 best, I can't see with these glasses. And it's like they give you different options about recipes also. So one of the brands is called, I think it's pronounced Lear's, and that's made in Australia. You can tell Jan.
How do you spell it?
L-Y-R-E-S.
Okay, cool.
And it had kind of like a, I don't know, what looked to me like a British and English and Australian. I don't know what the proper terminology is for that look, because it's got like a bird with a little fedora like this with a feather and like a monocle on one. One is called Dry London Spirit. And then they have different ones that are like the mock of the Italian orange liqueur and whiskey. And you'll have to, you know, this is something I didn't take too much time to read all of it, but they had the 12 best ones. So there's one called Ritual, which is a whiskey that has different flavors. They all have different flavors. And this Lear's is, Ritual is from here, from America. And Lears is from Australia.
Wow.
And have what they call, they host a listen bar every month in New York City. Listen, like the word listen, which are alcohol-free events.
Oh, wow.
And so these bars partner with Lears, and they will feature a drink with that particular flavor product. And then they put it on different menus with different recipes for that particular.
Awesome. That's really so cool.
Really great idea for people who are in recovery or people who don't want to drink or.
Right. Just sometimes it is really just a choice. But I knew they made certain ones over here. Seedlip is a big brand. Non-alcoholic gin or mixers, basically, you know, that kind of, like you were saying, have kind of like the taste of it, but you're not getting alcohol. And it's really big. Like I do remember having like some of that in stock, something like that at the bar. And then we also had non-alcoholic beers. You know, we didn't sell much of those, but we had them. And, you know, it is, you have, if you're, especially if you're with somebody, and even though they may be fine with you drinking or going to a bar, you got to kind of make sure there's an option there for them. So they're not having to drink a Coke or, you know, I mean, like a lot of times Gemma would meet me at work, but she didn't want to drink. So she would just have like club soda and lime and, you know, but just to know that there's other options out there for people who can't, won't, or don't want to. I mean, right. That's great.
Because you get the taste of it is what they say. And they also said it's the cocktail for the designated driver. Which many times I'm the designated driver. That's why it was so unusual that the night I had that 120 proof, I wanted to drive home because I'm such a freak about that. That
that's crazy.
I would never make it one night in jail, Denise.
Were you drinking the 120 proof straight?
On the rocks. We were just on the patio listening to music. And at the time, I don't do this much anymore, but Judy's husband, Terry, got me into these little cigars. He smokes a regular cigar, these black, it's like a clove cigar.
Oh, yeah.
I was listening to blues music. I was going to bars, and, you know, whatever. And so I thought they were so cool. And so.
Totally feeling, man. You were in the groove.
So he does this thing where he dips the tip, for those people listening, you dip the tip into the whiskey, and then every time you take a draw, I don't have it lit because I'm in my house, every time you take a draw, puts the whiskey in the clove, and it's just kind of nice when you're
on
the patio or whatever. And so, God, the night got away that night between me.
Got away from me.
You know, you do it a little sexy.
I remember cloves. Like I used to drive all the way down to Beach Place because there was like a really high-end smoke shop. And they were one of the few places that sold clove cigarettes. I would have to drive all the way down to Fort Lauderdale Beach at Beach Place and get a couple packs. And even back then, like I think like a regular pack of smokes was like, I don't know, $5 or $6 or even maybe back then. These were like 10. You know, it was just like, that's okay. I'll pay the 10 because they're that good.
You know what? These are actually cigars, so you don't inhale because I don't really, I'm not a smoker.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That was the appeal of this to me. But I just, getting back to why I brought that up, having an option, an alternative option to the alcohol version of a drink is really a great thing to have. And I just never thought whiskey. And now, like, I'll probably talk about other things because I've started looking it up. They have vodkas, they have gin, they have different other kinds of alcohol that are non-alcoholic. So
I think we have, that's real. Never mind. That was a real one. We have another one called Sipsmith. I was getting it mixed up with Seedlip. But yeah, we did have like a few. And some of the ones that like we've got like some weird flavor gins. Over just this year, we started kind of, Gemma likes a little bit of gin. So we went to a gin tasting, a distillery, you know, where they just kind of have you taste the different kinds. And mm-hmm. they had a really nice one that was made from all kinds of herbs and flowers and stuff from Kew Gardens over here, which is a huge, big garden, really renowned, well-known garden. So we actually bought a bottle of the Kew Gardens gin. But and then a friend of mine came over one night before the whole pandemic hit, and he brought us a rose hip gin that was really nice. And then we've had Parma Violet, which is amazing. Like, if you ever had those little violet candies, taste.
Yeah.
So went big into the flavored gins for a little bit, but I'm not a huge gin drinker. Like, there's something about it that tastes like celery to me, and that's just not one of my favorite vegetables either. So I don't really care for it. If I have to drink anything, I would prefer whiskey or rum.
Me too. I vodka, but like the Whiskey Rock Lounge, you know, we have options to listen.
I don't think we have to expressly drink whiskey. It's nice that we can talk about it and everything, but I got a lot more liquor over there that I'm going to have to dip into at some point. Mainly rums and gins.
Options in all ways, but I think I'm going to try one of these. I'm going to see where I could get a bottle, and I'll have it next time, and I'll let you know what it's like.
Of the 120?
No, the non-alcoholic.
The non-alcoholic, yeah, definitely. That would be good. I would love to get your take on a non-alcoholic whiskey. Yeah, definitely.
I started my diet, and they're much lower in calories because they have, there's not that alcohol sugar that turns directly into fat or whatever in your body, or the alcohol turns to sugar. Something happens.
Yeah, I don't like to drink. I'm diabetic. Like, I don't know if I've ever really said that on the show. So I don't ever really overdo it with anything, you know, like a drink here or a shot there or whatever, but make a cocktail here and there. But I do always worry about that because I don't really pay attention too much to what I'm eating. So, but I am mindful, you know, if I'm going to be doing something in excess, you know, it's just like, oh God, but I had bread today and I had pasta today, so I can't be drinking tonight. That's just all too many bad things, you know? So yeah, I will weigh it out. Like, I had a salad for lunch today, so I'm drinking whiskey, even though I had pizza for dinner. So did I surprise you when I sent you a picture of a tweet from the Twitter, as you would say?
The Twitter. You totally made my day. Okay. I was like, oh, God, we got a nod or a recognition. I was so excited, and then I go to you, what does that mean? But like, I'm like, oh, my God, Pants Pod noticed us.
Yes, we talk about Pants Pod a lot. Yeah, like you were telling me when we were just starting this that you listened to Pants Pod, and I said, oh, I just started listening to that. And that is with the girls from the L Word, Kate Monig and Leisha Haley, right? Mm-hmm. And they do a podcast. Sorry, my cat is eating the napkin my drink is. So anyways, when we created our Twitter account, I had to find, you know, podcasts to follow. And I am amazed at how many podcasts are out there. Not necessarily all LGBT either. Like, I found a couple really interesting ones, like about a guy and his daughter review like family films, and I just thought that was so cute. It's like a drive-in cinema type situation, and they talk about the movie afterwards, and it's very cute. So there's a lot of different ones out there, but so I started following the Pants Pod one, and somebody asked for podcast recommendations. And I took a whole bunch, you know, that I had been following, and just, I could like name a few because that is a nice thing to do for people. So I named, the drive-in one, which is in feature, Les Hangout. This is Serious is a good podcast. Pod Save America is very political, but it's really good. And Homo Underground and Country Queer and Taste of Country. So I recommended those and Pants Pod and didn't think anything of it. And then like a day later, I was looking at our notifications and there it was. Pants Pod liked your tweet. Yeah. So I'm just going to put it up there. So, like, people, I don't know.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, truly there. So that was a big deal. And I really like doing this kind of thing on Twitter where you, like, a lot of people will ask, like, is there any new podcasts out there? And I always say, give us a listen and then check out these. And you kind of tag people so they know that you're recommending them. I think it's pretty cool. But we're now being followed by Pod Booking, which is a growing network of podcasters. The Podcast Conglomerate. Good Pods. Take Up Space Pod, which is pretty cool too. Treble Podcast. So we're getting some Twitter followers, which is great. So it's all like a nice big warm community feel to it right now. Because normally I guess if you're not on, you don't really know, but normally I think that Twitter is literally a cesspool of hate most of the time.
Is it?
You know, like people tweeting to celebrities and destroying Trump right now on everything. And it really is just an absolute cesspool of hate. But this is fresh and new. And I've taken like most politics out of it. Mm-hmm. And I've just followed some cool musicians, cool celebrities, and cool podcasts.
I'm not I have a Twitter account, but I don't really do much with it. So I'm happy that you take care of that part of it, but you are a veteran podcaster. Like we said before, you did it before you were podcasting.
We were doing the Lesbian Lounge. I used to tweet all the time. Yeah. On that account, I literally have like 10,000 followers. So
amazing. That's great.
Yeah, that was good. And you know, to be fair, I kind of, like I said, I watch a little bit of CNN in the morning, but I seriously get my news, you know, from Twitter, because your phone's always in your hand. You know, I even like sitting there drinking coffee, like scrolling Twitter is how I get my news. So when we were having our little meeting with Joni, she said, wouldn't it be cool to do like a segment called Pride or Die, like the LGBT news, you know? And I agree. I like it. I love it. And the first thing I saw, as far as news goes, is that the Pope is now recognizing same-sex, unions, civil unions.
Yep. Wow.
So all I'm going to say about it, because I'm not political, and worse than that, I'm not religious, is that it's about time, and it was the right time. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. So
yeah, he's a very progressive Pope. I'm Catholic. I used to go to church every Sunday until the pandemic, and now we kind of do it on Facebook live stream.
Yeah, and that's how most people are doing it now, unless, of course, yeah, you're in the Midwest and you feel like you've got to go to a mass gathering, you know.
You could go outside if you want, but I haven't done that.
You'd want to do that in Florida.
You had a routine where we used to go, you know, it'd be church, and then you'd go to breakfast afterwards, just a few of us, you know, three or four of us, and really? That kind of broken. Yeah, it was kind of nice. You know, you looked forward to that on a Sunday, and that kind of got me up and out of the house earlier, which was good, and started my day. And then we would, my friend.
You Saturday nights, don't you?
What's that?
Usually would play like on Saturday nights and then have to get up for church on Sunday.
I would drag myself out, you know, if I played the night before, and it would just be a nice gathering, a nice fellowship or whatever. My friend that was with us we would go to First Watch, and she had the app on her phone. So before we went there, she'd get the table lined up, and you know, it was the whole thing. And that kind of went away. You know, I would post every week, Denise, say a little prayer for you, like emoji, and then I would put a little link to the song.
Yeah, I remember that now. That's right.
You might have seen that.
That is one thing lacking, like in my entire life, I think. That's probably the biggest thing. Like, it just wasn't a thing. Like, I made my communion and then I just dropped out. And my mom, like, never pushed me, and my dad didn't care less about it. So I didn't, you know, have, I had, you know, like, my great aunts would go all the time. And it wasn't far. Like, I could literally walk there if I wanted to, but wasn't going to do that. So I just really didn't go unless there was, like, a wedding or a function or, you know, something like that. So it just wasn't a thing. But I feel like what I noticed with my family, like, because the only way really to stay in touch with anybody these days is through Facebook. And I've noticed that. So I find that the older my relatives we get, the more religious they're becoming.
My mom will call the priest and have him.
No, you're joking.
He's like part of our family, but a lot of big Italian families have a priest. You know, they're a priest that comes to dinner. They, you know, does all the weddings, knows all the family problems. And anyway, Father Michael's been in our family he's a very, very good friend. He's like my brother.
I'm loving this. Your mother marks on you to the priest.
I did it not too long ago when I got my tattoos. Oh. We were leaving to go to breakfast like we normally do, and he's like, I gotta talk to you. You stay. He tells me, you just stay here. But, like, you know, remember, he's my friend for many years, he's part of the family, he's like my brother. And I'm like, okay, you know, like, and he takes me behind on the altar with my sister, and it's like, what's going on with you? What's with these tattoos? I'm like, have you noticed it's the crucifix and a Bible quote on my, I have a rosary, a partial rosary and a Bible quote on my arm. It was just funny. I mean, my mom was worried about me when I got the tattoos. So I didn't even tell her about the second one for a while. I was wearing long sleeves because I didn't want to get pulled out to the priest again.
That is brilliant. Really? Oh my God. I am loving that. I guess at this point, I'm glad we don't have a family priest. I'm pretty glad about that. Oof. I don't know. My mother can't not say something that she's unhappy with or about. It's just not in her to keep it inside and just, like, let it go. So she'll just say it. Yeah, she'll just say it. Like, honestly, less now that I don't live, like, right there, but, you know, when we were just living, like, a mile apart, we had more frank discussions on things that, like, she never liked when I wore baseball hats backwards. Never liked that.
So she bypassed the priest and she just told you herself.
Yeah, she just said, I don't like it, don't like the look, don't think it's flattering. And I was just like, okay, you know. See what I'm fighting with right now?
I had another question from people or peeps that listen.
Oh, do you?
I did.
I just want you to know that I did check the email and there was nothing in there. So.
Oh, okay.
I must be more engaged on your page than mine.
On Facebook. So on my message on Facebook, I thought this was a good question. What do we have any tips or ideas for people who are couples and have been a couple for a while in this pandemic time about date night? Because, you know, there really are no movies. There's no theater. There's restaurants, but I don't know. I think the movies might be opened up, but people are afraid to go. I don't think it's probably as fun as it used to be. And so, nothing is really shopping. I mean, you have to wear the mask. I can't think clearly for some reason with the mask on for too long.
Me neither. My only focus is, when do I get to take this off?
When do you get out of the store, right? So this is kind of lost its fun. And people are like, so my friends who have been married forever, they have, I saw her post on Facebook one night that they had like formal date night in, which was kind of nice, and they got dressed up for each other. She got to put on a nice dress. She put her makeup on, which she hadn't put on for months, you know, because people, I don't know, we've been in sweats and not wearing bras and not wearing makeup, hair and stuff. So They did that, and she, you know, ordered in dinner and put it out on the table, and everything was nice with the china and the silverware and stuff, and they had their date night in, like a formal date night, and I know some other people who have, like, sought out specific movies that they might not have otherwise and they might do a wine and popcorn thing, which I don't know how they go together, but people
they
seem
do.
To put
everything goes
so I just kind of like the idea of planning something different, whether it be a nice getting dressed nice for each other because you've been schlepping around probably for months and not caring what you wore. And if you're with a person and you want to look nice for them, and even if you're not going anywhere, and it doesn't have to be like, they don't do this all the time. It was like a special thing they did.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you kind of.
Cute idea.
You have to. I mean, I'm the worst person to even attempt to answer this, because like I said, we just had our 10-year anniversary and we did absolutely nothing. Like, and it was on a Saturday, and we just like stayed in our pajamas, watched television all day, ordered pizza. Like, our gift exchange was like, you know, a birthday cake flavored lip balm for me, and I got her a winter beanie. Like, if they were seriously like three pound gifts, like nothing. But we've never really been those people. Like, we would, on a night that I wasn't working or something, and like, we would just end up like going to my pub for a drink and just like hanging out with people. And, you know, during this whole thing, it has been a little bit weird because I'm used to having the entire day to myself. Right. So I would do like all my little weird chores in the morning, start laundry, do a little vacuuming, clean up the kitchen, like that kind of thing, take a little break, think about what I'm going to prep for dinner, that kind of stuff. And like, my goal was to always have dinner ready and waiting. She would like text me from the train and say, like, I'll be home at, you know, just getting on the train, I'll be home in a half an hour or whatever. And I would know, and I would have dinner like ready to go, and she would walk in, and that was like my pride and joy. But the pandemic, been working either from home or from, you know, our friend Hazel's that's just a street away. She's literally been here every single day. And what I have realized is I don't like to cook with anybody. That's the first thing. So a lot of times it was either you cook or I cook, but we're not going to cook together. And she's a vegetarian and I am not, although rather than cook two meals, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll eat whatever, you know, a vegetarian fake chicken kind of thing. But I have found those things out, that it's, I don't do well with somebody else in the kitchen. So I just, we never really went out on dates, you know, I guess because when we first started dating, I was in Florida, she was in Australia. She would get time off. She was a teacher then, so she would get the summers off. She would come and spend like 6 weeks with me, you know, and I would like take her all over, take my mother's, do normal stuff. Oh. I was still working. Yep. She would have the days to herself, and we would do some stuff at night, and then she would go back to Australia, and then we would basically video chat every day. So, you know, we didn't have like a phase where we went on proper dates, you know, like, yeah, we take her out to eat or take her to my mother's. I'm not a great person to answer that. Like, you have been on the dating scene probably longer than I have, so you might be better off at making a date night than I could do.
Well, you know what? I'm a hopeless romantic, and I watch Hallmark movies probably too much to try to make that become reality.
It's an inspiration.
I do believe most couples should, you never should lose that wanting to impress or look good for, or, you know, just be attractive to your partner, whatever that is. It doesn't always necessarily have to be dress up clothes or makeup or hair or something. It could be.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing, is that like, and this is going to sound so gay, the main thing, like, for us is, like, we will still we'll still snuggle every once in a while. Like, just normally, like, there's a recliner over here and a couch over there. So she'll sit the recliner and I'll be on the couch. But, you know, like tonight we were watching something and she just came over and, you know, was on my couch with me. So it's like, as long as you still have that, whether it's physical intimacy or whatever, like, you know, that's just a reminder that you're in a relationship. You're not just cohabitating, or you're not just roommates. You're not just friends, you know, like, it's more than that. So yeah, I think you have to have those reminders.
You can very easily slip into friend zone, especially now, because when you're, if you're together with your significant partner, couples who've been together a long time, and you look at all the celebrities who broke up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because I don't know whether it was they just couldn't stand to be around each other, because celebrities probably don't see each other that much because they're traveling in different directions. And, or maybe they were around each other so much they got to see each other's text with other people. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know what that dynamic is that makes people hang in there and stay, you know, but I think it's always been, I just think you should never try to lose that spark of romance. And no matter what that is, you would make sure you had dinner on the table. Like, that's a really nice gesture. You know, that's something very sweet. And so you have to remember to do the little thing. Not that that's a little thing. That's a huge thing, because I don't even, I never put my oven on for like a year. I didn't even know stuff came inside the oven, like books and cleaner. But, you know, even you don't forget the little things. You bring your partner flowers or whatever it is they like.
That's exactly what it is. It's a lot of little things, you know, like, I firmly believe that, like, and there are things that probably go unnoticed, you know, but like, I don't drink tea. I'm ashamed to say I'm living in England and I don't drink tea. I'm a coffee drinker, but Gemma drinks a lot of tea. So I will always make sure that her tea bag canister is full, so she doesn't like, isn't one, you know, like little things like that, you know. And I do all the laundry. So.
That's there again. See, that's exactly. You know,
goes through a lot of clothes. But yeah, so those are the things I do. I think unconsciously, like, I just want to be able to do that. Like, you know, she's, you know, working hard or playing hard, or, you know, I mean, I have to say, when she was home, we did a lot of projects together. You know, like, we did a little bit of gardening together. There were, like, we had purges where we just purged closets and drawers, and we would do that, like, together. It wasn't just, oh, today I'm going to clean out a closet. Like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to be down here playing PlayStation. You know, I was like, well, I'll help you, you know, that kind of thing. So we did a lot of those things done that we normally, I would be doing on my own during the day. So that was neat and that was fun. But she just started back going to work from Hazel's. back on contract, so she is working again, where she's out all day, and it was just been like weird to get back into the way things were, you know, again, like, just used to having her here now, and now she's gone. So, you know, so I think you're right. It's a lot of little things that you can do to show your appreciation for that person, or that you still are in love and not just, you know, love you, and then that doesn't mean anything.
Now, where people are cooped up and there's not a whole lot of places to go, if you take the extra time to figure out what concert you might want to get on demand, and then make that time, okay, we're watching the concert at 8 o'clock or whatever.
Right? How many people are starving? So,
there's so much you can, you know, you have to get creative, but that would be my.
That's a good one. That's really good. One of the things and I think you just mentioned this, but one of the things we talked about in our meeting with Joni, like when we were on the Lesbian Lounge, we used to, which was how Gemma and I met, we used to have Gemma write up 4 different questions for me and Donna, and she would email them in from Australia back then. every week, and we'd always have them, and it would kind of spawn good conversation. So I was trying to think of something along those lines, and we were talking about how important nostalgia is to us. So I like the idea of the time machine memory.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
Yes. I think that we probably have a lot of similar ones, but I love for other people to talk about the thing. Like I just posted the other day on my Facebook, it was a school lunch. And it was so triggering. It was like Pizza Fridays. So it was like, that piece of pizza. it grossed me out in a proper way. But it was just like, wow, we look forward to that. How weird. But so things like that, like my cousin every once in a while will send me like a bubblegum lip gloss, lip smacker, you know, picture of lips or Dr. Scholl's or, you know, something that just takes you right back to a certain time. So we definitely are going to we're going to jump into things, like not today, but moving forward.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I should mention some of the other things that we talked about having was, like a news story, if it kind of had an impact on us or LGBT or whatever. And then we want to talk about a lot of different drink recipes. So we've got your friend who's a mixologist. Then I'm really excited because your hairstylist is going to come on. So you'll get to set that up when you go for your haircut. But the thing I liked is that you discussed with her talking about some of the lesbian haircut fads, like the top lesbian haircut fads over the years. So I think that's hilarious and fun. And then we've got, like we mentioned, some other musicians. We've got your cousin Joni. We've got whiskey expert Judy. And we also decided that we would, every once in a while, have a nostalgia night where we talked about some of the long gone but not forgotten lesbian bars of the past.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a lot coming up. Like, I'm super, like, super, super, super.
We have a lot coming up, and we've got Tyler, the mixologist from Memphis, is coming. That's Judy's son. He's coming on in the week after next, in November, whatever that Sunday is, that first Sunday in November. Tyler will be, and I was going to say something else. Joni's working on some celebrities. I don't want to like throw names out because I don't know who we're going to get yet, but Joni has access.
Joni's on it. We've already had a birthday message from Melissa Etheridge. I mean, where do you go from there, really?
No, I know. He's got access to, you know, besides us, other celebrities, Denise, that she can.
Yeah.
You and me.
Lower than the D-list over here, but yeah. So we should always let people know that they can comment on any one of our social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or email us. So you can email us at thewhiskeyrocklounge@gmail.com, or you can look us up on Instagram. We are Whiskey Rock Lounge. And on Twitter, we are whiskey_pod. So look us up. And Facebook, again, The Whiskey Rock Lounge. It's got its official, got a page. That's where the Sunday shows go up. And where people, can you hear my cat right now?
Yeah. Sure.
So that's where you can drop us a Facebook question, message, idea, whatever you want, and get fully engaged. We're into that kind of thing. So that's, we've got good stuff happening. I'm excited.
We have options. We have.
We're cutting out. I think we're losing our sound here. Maybe we're towards the end. So we're going to cut out and say goodbye, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Yeah.